Why do so many men refuse to give their lives completely to our Lord? Hi, I'm Mike Mason, and this is the St. Joseph Society podcast. The St. Joseph Society is a Catholic lay apostolate devoted to helping men order all things to Christ as they grow strong in mind, body, and spirit. If you'd like to see more about us, you can visit us online at stjosephsociety.org. This is the St. Joseph Bootcamp, Episode 3. And in this episode, we're going to take up the question, why do so many men refuse to give their lives entirely to our Lord? Now, in these first few episodes of the St. Joseph Society podcast, we're looking at the question, who is Jesus Christ and what does he want from us? What does he want to do in us and through us? In the first episode, we asked the question, is Jesus a nice guy? We came to the conclusion at the end of that episode that no, he's not a nice guy, but he's a good man. Last week, we looked at the question, is he only a good man or is he the God-man? And by looking at various scripture passages of what Christ and other New Testament authors say about him and C.S. Lewis's argument for the Lord, liar, and lunatic argument, we came to the conclusion that he is in fact the God-man. Furthermore, I challenged you guys last week that if he's truly the God-man, well, what does he want for us? And what I propose is that following Jesus Christ is an all or nothing proposal. He doesn't want 70% of us, 80% or 90%. He wants 100% of our lives. And I argued that he deserves to request such a thing because he's truly Lord and God. So what keeps men from giving their lives completely to Christ? Well, we could probably throw out a lot of things that get in guys' ways, but I want to zero in on two in particular today. When Jesus talks about discipleship in the New Testament, one of the ways he describes it as following him is like taking up your cross. You have to take up this cross and follow him. We all know that the cross is an instrument of death. And so in a manner of speaking, Christ is asking us to die to ourselves in order to live for him. Now, that's a very difficult, dangerous, and even scary proposal. And so what I want to submit today is there is two vices that keep us from having the courage to take up that challenge. Before we launch into that, I want to be very clear. When Christ asks us to take up our cross and follow him, he's not doing this as some kind of master and we're a slave. He's not trying to boss us around. Jesus is calling us into a full life. Okay, God made us. He knows what's good for us. He knows what's best for us. When Christ asks us to take up our cross, he actually wants to give us his life. He wants to give us a truly happy and virtuous and good life. That's what he's challenged us to do. So what keeps us from following him down that path? The two vices I want to look at today are what are called effeminacy and sloth. Effeminacy and sloth. Now, I call these the two-headed monster that keep men from becoming the men God wants them to be. These two vices steal from us the motivation and the desire and the willingness and the courage to walk the path God gave us. So we're going to look at these two vices, and then I'm going to propose how we can overcome each. Let's begin with sloth. What sloth and effeminacy have in common is they both have in common that they're vices of pleasure, but they're vices of pleasure in two very distinct ways. Okay. The first is sloth. Sloth is defined as an aversion to what is difficult. So aversion to what is difficult. Some guys look at difficult tasks, whether it's playing football or getting into shape or starting a business or taking a theology course. They look at a difficult task and the difficulty of the task themselves freaks them out and they abandon it. That is sloth. They look at the challenge in front of them and they fold like a cheap suit. Why? Because the difficulty chips away at their courage until they give it up and they retreat back to the comfort of a lower way of living. That's what sloth is. It's looking at what's challenging, shrinking back, and not following it. Effeminacy also chips away at a man's courage to follow Christ, but effeminacy does it differently. In effeminacy, what effeminacy is a disordered attachment to what is pleasurable. Okay, a disordered attachment to what is pleasurable. Guys, effeminacy in our culture right now is off the charts. Heck, I would even argue there's an active conspiracy in our culture to encourage us to be too strongly attached to pleasure. What effeminacy is when a man is so attached to his pleasures, he can't do what's difficult or what's scary. Now, notice the slight difference between these two. In sloth, the man looks at what's difficult and it freaks him out. His courage and his fortitude is chipped away and he retreats. So what's difficult is what scares him. With effeminacy, it's slightly different. Effeminacy is that you're overly attached to the pleasure, and that's what keeps you from doing the difficult thing. So in sloth, the difficult thing itself is what repulses you. In effeminacy, it's the overattachment to the pleasure of the easy road. Now, what kind of things can we be overly attached to? Okay. First are pleasures of food, drink, and sex. Now, let me be very clear on all three of these. Food, drink, and sex are not in themselves immoral. It's the overattachment to them that is. Our world tells us, okay, our culture tells us that the best we can do in life is eat, drink, and be merry. You'd think for most people in our culture, sex is the penultimate thing that a person can do. And so our culture encourages men to be enslaved to the appetites of food, drink, and sex and not do the difficult task before them. How about possessions? Our culture encourages us in our consumeristic culture to be attached, overly attached to possessions. Every commercial when you turn on the television is trying to tell you that if you just buy this one thing, you'll finally be happy. You'll finally be comfortable. Just sit at home and watch your big screen TV. Just flip through your cell phone a little bit more. Buy that car. Go on that vacation and you'll finally be happy. Third thing that men can be overly attached to is their ego and their reputation. Guys, too many men are in love with themselves. In order to follow Jesus Christ, you have to deny yourself. You've got to put yourself out there in the possibility of failure. You have to trust God to give you the graces you need to keep moving forward. Too many men, their ego won't allow them to do that. Or they know Christ is calling them to do something and they're too worried about what their neighbor or their family or the guy at work is going to think of them. Our being in love with the pleasure of our reputation and pleasure of our ego keeps us from following our Lord. Guys, in our culture today, too many men look at the path, that narrow path of salvation Christ lies before us, that true path to eternal life, that true path to happiness. They see it's difficult, and it is at times, and they shrink away, that sloth. Other men see the difficulty of the Christian life and the life that God's calling them, and they retreat from it because they just are in love with food, drink, and sex, or their possessions, or their ego, or their reputation. Guys, our obsession, nay, our addiction to pleasure are keeping far too many men of walking the road of salvation. And the real catch with all these things is none of those things, fear, food, drink, and sex, possessions, ego, reputation, none of those satisfy us. So what do we do about it? G.K. Chesterton once said, "The Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting. It's been found difficult and left untried." What did he mean by that? You never meet someone who takes Jesus Christ seriously, walks the path that he lays before him. You never find someone who does that who regrets it. You never meet a saint as they get to the end of their life and going, "I just wish I would have had more stuff," or "I just wish I would have had more drink or food or sex." No one says that. Lots of people get to their deathbed with regrets of chasing those goods and not following our Lord. So how do we fight sloth? First, men, we need to embrace struggle and challenge, not run away from it. Guys, we have to learn to love the process of becoming who God wants us to be. It's perfectly fine to think of heaven and the promised reward of the next life. That's a great and wonderful thing. But as men, as Christian leaders, okay, as leaders in our homes and our businesses and our church, we need to embrace the process of becoming holy. Just like in sports, I coach football, I played football. One of the things I always preach to our guys is you have to embrace the process because that's where excellence lives. You can't be dreaming about Friday nights. You can't dream about the game you're going to play. You have to fall in love with Tuesday afternoon. Football games are won in the weight room in February. Guys, the battle in this life is won on your knees every single morning when you're doing your morning devotion, doing all those little things throughout the day and giving God room to work in your life. Guys, we have to embrace the struggle and difficulty of life. Love the process because that's the way God's going to forge us into something that we've always wanted to be. Second, with effeminacy, let's set aside intrinsically evil things like pornography and those sort of things that are we all know are completely wrong. When it comes to pleasures of food, drink, sex, possessions, guys, moderation is the key. If you notice about all those things, food, drink, sex, and possessions, none of them are bad in ourselves. You can't find one thing in the Christian tradition that says those are bad in themselves. What the Christian tradition does teach consistently for the last 2,000 years is we must moderate those pleasures. Father Chad Ripperger, an exorcist, great exorcist, he has a great talk on effeminacy on YouTube called How to Raise a Man. I'd encourage you guys to check that out. It's excellent. I read in a book once where he said this. He said, demons treasure the idea of anything but moderation. They want us to either enjoy pleasures too much or give them up completely. Obviously, if we enjoy them too much, that's sinful and wrong. Why would the demon want us to give up completely? Because when we give things up completely, okay, and call them bad, we're calling something God gave us as good bad, and that's false. He says God receives glory when we enjoy things rightly. Guys, we all need to take a hard look at our lives and say, are we enjoying the pleasures of life rightly? Do we have too many possessions? Maybe we need to scale back. I like brats and beer and bourbon as much as the next guy. How often do we really need to have those things? Do we need a bowl of ice cream every single night? Do we need to sleep in and hit the snooze bar 3 or 4 times every single morning? We all need to take a hard look at our attachment to pleasure and say, are there things we can scale back on? Are we using legitimate pleasures in our life properly? I'll leave you with this thought. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, 6 through 7, St. Paul is writing to Timothy. Timothy's a young leader in the church, and he gives him this encouragement. I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and love and self-control. Guys, through our baptismal promises, through our confirmation, God has not given us a spirit of timidity. He's given us a spirit to conquer these passions. He's given us a spirit that can be courageous enough to follow the path Christ asked us to walk. And gentlemen, if we walk that path, he will supply the graces we need to stay on track. So I challenge you, as you continue to get up each morning, devote those first 15 minutes. If you're just doing 5 minutes, great. Make it the best 5 minutes of your day. Tell God as you read the Gospel of John, as you pray the morning offering at Our Lady of Mount Carmel, tell God that you want to be courageous for him. Ask for the graces to make you courageous. And I think you guys will be pleasantly surprised at how much God's going to help you out throughout the day. Hope you guys have a great week, and I'll talk to you next week. God bless.